Well, there was a wedding feast about to happen in heaven, and there was a line, you know, people were waiting to be seated by the maitre d', and there were two men in that line. One was a taxi driver, and one was a preacher. And the maitre d' comes up, you know, the table, the wonderful heavenly feast table behind him, and he greets the taxi driver with just this big smile, and he takes him way, way, way up that table, like near the apostles and Jesus and all that. And then he comes back, and he very graciously greets the preacher, and he says, come and follow me, and he takes them to a place that's kind of really not up that, it's way back, we'll just say. And so, you know, the preacher always concerned about decorum and everything, and he says, you know, I'm so sorry, he says, I think there's been a mistake, I mean, not trying to do your job for you, but that guy was a taxi driver, and I'm a preacher. You know, I've spent my whole life preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And the maitre d' said, oh, yes. He said, yes, yes, I know. He said, but the thing is, you see, when you preached, people fell asleep. And when that man drove his taxi, they prayed. So this morning, I want us to think about the power of our witness. What is the power of our witness? And a witness, which is what we have seen and known the Lord to do, and our report of that, either in words or in action. I will say this, it always has a surprising aspect to, an unexpected quality. Witness always is like, wow. That's what happened. Because, of course, grace is surprising. It's not the way of the world. Grace and forgiveness, a proclamation of the surpassing abundance of God, that actually death doesn't have the last word. All these things, very surprising. So our witness will always have a surprising aspect to it. And even the ones chosen to give the most powerful witnesses are often surprising. So, speaking of witnesses, today, as we notice by the Shekinah glory of God behind me, we are celebrating 75 years of a witness in this place of St. George's Church, a witness to the glory and love of God. I just think we can do a woohoo! Because we all do share in that story, in that witness of this church. Some of you for a great deal longer than others of us, but it is a powerful witness. And if you have not had time to check out the Bradford Gallery, that exhibit will be up for until through Christmas. I just, one day a week or something, just get a cup of coffee and read one of the panels of the surprising work of God that has happened in this church. Really surprising. And one of the things that just knocked my socks off was realizing that within 2 or 3 years, this church decided, oh yes, let's send away 60 of our pledging most active members, bye, to start a church, St. Bartholomew's. Well, that is a surprising witness to God. It's wonderful. And that wasn't the only time that happened here at St. George's. So I encourage you to see the witness of this place and just celebrate that story if you had not already done that. Now, of course, the Gospels are compilations of eyewitness accounts of what God has done. And there are scholars who think, and I think they're right, that when you get a named person in a story, Bartimaeus, that person was the person who corroborated by their own eyewitness, that's what happened. And they tell that story in their church and at their local synagogue, you know, their local synagogue and wherever, for the rest of their lives. Bartimaeus, K, kept telling people about the time when he was blind and he was on the road. And the, you know what the most precious thing he had was his cloak. Not because of the temperature. It's pretty hot, actually, in Jericho. But that's where he would collect the money. And we recall when he hears Jesus tell him to come up, he throws his cloak away. He told that story, and we know it says when Jesus heals him, and he asked to be healed, and when he is healed, we are told that Jesus says, okay, get up and go about your way, and he follows Jesus in the way, and that is code in the early church, for he became a follower of Jesus. So Bartimaeus's witness is one of the witness stories that we have. But it adds an actual depth to this witness when we think about where Mark places it in the gospel story. In Mark, there are two stories of a blind person being healed, being given sight. And they bookend a very special segment of the gospel. It's the part where Jesus tries to tell his disciples what his ministry, servant leadership, I came not to be served, but to serve, what that looks like. And ultimately, of course, in Jesus' case, it means he gives his life, he says, as a ransom for many captives, many hostages to sin and death. So ultimately, Jesus is trying to explain between these stories of blindness about what true following him is going to look like. And it will not be selfish. It will involve suffering. Well, of course, the disciples totally don't get it. I mean, right during that whole section, they're bickering about who's going to have the most glory, how they're going to optimize this walk with Jesus for their own personal gain and grandeur. But when we get to Bartimaeus, and there is this healing, true, he is saved. Not just that his eyes can see, but fully he is redeemed. His spirit, his soul, his eyesight. And the next movement of the gospel is into Jerusalem. And you know what Bartimaeus is going to see with his newly restored eyes? He's going to see his Savior on a cross. There's a fullness to this kind of salvation that Bartimaeus experiences in his eyesight being restored. And we know that he followed Jesus on the way. So he was there for the long haul. He saw that, and perhaps, we don't know if he was in that upper room, but eventually he received the good news of the resurrection and of eternal life. So, thinking about this idea of witnesses and the power of witness, think about some other stories in the Bible and those witnesses. One that I particularly love is the story of Thomas. I love this witness. Remember, Thomas followed Jesus, loved Jesus, not down with the crucifixion, probably wasn't even there. Was afraid. And then he didn't even continue necessarily going, because the disciples, even though they weren't at the crucifixion, many of them, they met in the upper room. And of course, that's where Jesus, his resurrected self, came. And he said, peace be with you. And remember, he blew on them with his breath to bring his Holy Spirit, encourage them in their life of witness. But Thomas was so afraid, he wasn't there. And we remember the disciples told him, oh, Jesus came, he's alive, and this is what happened. And Thomas says, you know what? Unless I, like, put my hand on his side and check out his hands, I don't believe it. He's utterly despairing. And then, surprise. He does manage to get his sorry self to that upper room about 8 days later. And guess who shows up? Jesus. And you know what? He says, peace be with you. He doesn't scold him. He says, Thomas, put your hand here. Feel my palms. He says, believe. Believe, he says. And what I love about the witness, that this is from Thomas, because we got his name, is it's not just about what Jesus did, it's the before part. It's that I couldn't believe, but Jesus came to me, and this is how he was with me. It's the whole witness. What a wonderful witness for us to have, especially as we experience times when we know that we haven't been able to be faithful and believe. And then, of course, I love, you know, I love drama. So I love the story about the woman who has been forgiven many sins. Remember, it's a dinner party. Pharisee is given lots of decorum. Everybody's doing the right thing. And then this prostitute shows up, goes over to Jesus, weeps, you know, in a very dramatic way, over his feet, and then uses her, uses her hair, you can see why I like this story, to dry her tears and anoints his feet and kisses them. And everybody's appalled, except, of course, for Jesus. And he says, you know, she's been forgiven many sins, and so she loves so much. Now that, she didn't say anything. We don't hear any words from her, but we see in her action her witness. Our witness is in our words. It is also in our actions. I love that story. Now, there's another witness. There's so many wonderful witnesses, but this one I have to share with you because it's marvelous. It's about the philosopher and scientist Blaise Pascal. Some of you may already know this, 17th century thinker, mathematician, who suffered actually from depression, great bouts of depression. And some scientists, doctors think maybe he was celiac, actually, that as they look back and try to understand these bouts of depression. But when he died, this great scientist, his servant found this on his coat. This is in 1662. This is what is inside his coat. There was a piece of paper with handwriting on it. And there was a little cross drawn on the top. And then it said, in the year of the Lord, 1654, Monday, November 23rd, from about half past 10 in the evening until half past 12, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers nor the scholars. Certitude. Certitude. Feeling. Joy. Peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and thy God. Thy God shall be my God. Forgetfulness of the world and of everything except God. He is to be found only by the ways taught in the gospel. Greatness of the soul of man. Righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. Joy, 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 tears of joy. Jesus Christ. I have fallen away, I have fled from him, denied him, crucified him. May I not fall away forever. We keep hold of him only by the ways taught in the gospel. Renunciation, total and sweet, total submission to Jesus Christ, eternally in joy for a day's exercise on earth. I will not forget thy word. Amen. This is written in Pascal's handwriting on this paper note, and that is his witness. But you know what I love about it? Apparently the servant could see he'd like sewn it into several different coats. Just that faithfulness, he had that experience, and what do we know? He suffered from depression. So he needed to have that literally like on him to hold as his witness even to himself. But what a powerful witness to us as well, of course. So, thinking about these witnesses, which are sort of spectacular, but the Bible gives us a vocabulary to say our witness in such simple ways, my Lord and my God, you know? Great witness. So many witnesses. But something that we've been doing here at St. George's in the vestry is sharing our faith stories, which is really just looking over the whole topography of your life and seeing those special places where you can truly see God's tracks, God's footprints. God did something, and you know it. Sometimes it's surprising when you look back where you see it so crystal clear. You remember it when you were in second grade or 10th grade. And, you know, I will just say that the fact is that the story of an ordinary Christian is, by definition, charged with the glory and the beauty of the mercy of God. So each of our stories is incredible, even if we're just ordinary Christians. And they are incredibly encouraging to hear. So anyway, this vestry practice, I asked one of our vestry members, I'm not going to give her name, but although she said I could, but I'm not going to. She said that I could share a little bit to you about this testimony of an ordinary Christian. Anyway, she grew up in the church, loving the church. Her family made sure she went to church. Half of her family was like cooking the breakfast at church. Her grandmother was, you know, making crafts on the crafts table that was being sold to raise money for whatever. She was just flit around this church, and she loved the liturgy. She loved everything about church. But very sadly, when she was 14, her mother died of a heart condition. And, you know, she had said goodbye to her mother. Her mother had to go to the hospital, and then when her mother died. But these are her words. This is what is so surprising about the work of God and our witness. This is what she said. Amidst all the sadness, I can tell you without a doubt that the Holy Spirit was with me. This is a 14-year-old. I remembered thinking that there was only one place my mom could be, and that was heaven. My faith had always been strong, but her death solidified that there was truly no other option but God. Isn't that surprising that God would use that to crystallize in her sense of the surpassing goodness and faithfulness of God? And her story goes on. I mean, it's too wonderful to tell all the parts, but, you know, she grew in her faith, learned about contemplative prayer, she raised her own family, and then her job now is basically to give aid to families who experience severe illness. And she says, basically, my job is to help God answer prayers that people are praying on behalf of their families. How good is that? And there's such joy in her witness. The story of an ordinary Christian, your story, is charged with the glory of God. So reflect on your lives, reflect on the life of St. George's, and tell the story.